Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. We are an hour away from the kickoff. Vikings and Saints, wild card Sunday in the NFL. Later on today, Seahawks and Eagles at 3:40. And when we look back at wild card Saturday in the NFL, Abdallah, there are two main storylines that we take a look at from last night and applying them here to the Chicago Bears here in Chicago. Number one, what we saw in the first game. The Houston Texans beat the Buffalo Bills 22-19. And really what we saw from Deshaun Watson in the second half and in overtime of that game was simply incredible, simply amazing. And that's storyline number one when we look back at last night.
Yeah, and if you look at what he was able to do, you know, on the ground and through the air, 7 of 8 for 142 yards when passing under duress, 13 of 14 for 193 yards and two touchdowns after falling behind 16-0. It was crazy what Watson was able to do. He becomes the first quarterback in 14 postseasons, in the last 15 postseasons, to come back from a 14-0 deficit, 14-point deficit in both the national championship game and in a playoff game in the NFL.
Yeah, and when you look back on it, we watch college football, Black and Abdallah, we're huge college football fans, and at the time, when Deshaun Watson was doing what he was doing at Clemson, you and I both agreed that that was pretty special, and it was fun to watch, and you're an Alabama fan, so you saw it first and forehand that foremost that, like, this guy was able to do things against elite defenses that not every quarterback can do, and I get it, it's in college, but what he did in the national championship game against the Crimson Tide was something that is noteworthy when you look ahead at projecting this player to the next level. And when you're a Bears fan, I don't know how you wake up today watching what you saw last night, not thinking to yourself, man, what could have been? How great that was, I wish that was on my team, because that's how I woke up today. And it's how I watched the game last night. And if you want to join the conversation at 312-332-3776, that's exactly how I feel today, is watching Watson play. It's just, man, we really missed out on that.
Well, yeah, and I think that's how you're going to look at the game next weekend, too, when it's Watson against Mahomes again. You know, you look at that game and forever it's going to be, and people are like, oh, move on. No, because that's what could have been. You talked about the Portland Trailblazers and passing on Michael Jordan. What could have been? I think we will forever wonder, with this Bears defense and with Khalil Mack and with the caliber of defense that this Bears team has had the last couple of years and this year, and however long they can sustain this success on the defensive side of the ball, what could have been? Because by all accounts, now they're going to have to go to garage sales to try to find a quarterback. They're going to have to find a Blake Bortles. They're going to have to find an Andy Dalton. They're going to have to find a Cam Newton or a Marcus Mariota. You're not going to bring in, you know, a guy. You're not going to pay for Teddy Bridgewater to bring him in because he's going to want to start. You're not going to bring in Phillip Rivers because he's going to want to start. There's a chance maybe at Tom Brady, but he's going to want to start. You're not bringing in one of these guys who's going to start right away because, by all accounts, from what we know, Ryan Pace wants this to be Mitchell Trubisky's team. And so you're going to be dumpster diving for quarterbacks here coming up in this offseason.
Could you imagine Ryan Pace head into the dumpster, feet hanging out, Matt Nagy holding him by the knees, right, like trying to hold him and lift him into the dumpster, and Ryan Pace is shuffling through all the garbage, and he's like, yeah, all right, here's a Ryan Fitzpatrick. What do you think? Nagy's like, keep digging deeper. Oh, well, here's a... here's a Josh Rosen. What do you think? Digging deeper. A Joe Flacco. Here's a broken Joe Flacco. What do you think? Keep digging farther. Here we go. Here's a guy that's healthy. Blake Bortles. Will that run your offense, coach? Is that going to work for you? Keep digging. So you're right, Abdallah. There's a bunch of rehab projects that the Bears could go after here in this offseason to fix the quarterback position. None of it's going to be easy, but there are going to be names available. This is going to be a free agency period in the NFL, unlike we've seen before, because many big name items are going to be available. Will they retire? Will they leave their current teams that they played their entire careers for? Who knows? But the names will be out there. and including the guy who lost last night to Tennessee, 20-13, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Will they be together going into the future?
Well, you look at, you know, what in terms of Tom Brady, what he wants to do. And when you talk about Tom Brady, when you talk about Michael Jordan, when you talk about the greatest to ever do it, right? Tom Brady is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. Bill Belichick, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest coaches of all time, if not the best coach of all time. Chris Mortensen saying that, you know, it's well known that Belichick wants to coach for at least five more years so he can retire with the most wins in NFL history. That's something he wants to accomplish. So when you're talking in terms of legacy, do these guys need to chase rings? No. Do these guys need to chase contracts for money for their family? No. Tom Brady and his family and for future generations will never want for anything again between him and Giselle and their money and his endorsements and whatever he's set up. They're never going to want for money ever again. Tom Brady's not going to be the kind of guy that when he retires goes right into a booth because he loves the game so much. He's going to be the guy that you never hear from. He's going to go up to the mountains and you're never going to hear from him again. So he needs to think of this in terms of legacy. And the way the game ended on that pick six and how he's going to be remembered as not throwing a touchdown pass in his last two postseason games for the New England Patriots, I don't believe that he leaves New England. Now, this also goes into his relationship with Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, and how much he loves Tom Brady. And we've seen, whether it's from trading Jimmy Garoppolo, whether it's giving bonuses and new money to Tom Brady, whatever it is, Robert Kraft has aligned himself with Tom Brady over Bill Belichick. Because if he didn't, he would have kept Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo, that would be the answer. The answer today, if they would have had Jimmy Garoppolo waiting in the wings, the answer today would have been like, well, that was great for Tom. He's going to be a great Charger next year. And Jimmy Garoppolo will be stepping in and taking over for Tom Brady. But it's not, because Robert Kraft loves Tom Brady so much. So to me, will he be a Bear? Most likely no. He's most likely going to be a Patriot because he's thinking in terms of legacy. And I think that these guys are above, I want to prove that I can win one without Tom. I want to prove one that I can win one without Belichick. I think that they're just thinking of what our legacy is going to be. And I think that Tom Brady thinks his legacy is best in New England and that he will stay there because it's better for his legacy. Like, let's say he goes to the Chargers and they don't make the playoffs or they don't win or whatever. Is it better for him to do that and try to ring chase there? Or is it better for him to stay with New England, rebuild again, and get back to the postseason next year and try to win in a Patriots uniform again next season? It's better for him to do it with the Patriots.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black here on ESPN 1000. If you want to talk football with us, the phone number is 312-332-3776. So those are the top two stories this morning here in Chicago as we're watching the wild card round. And it's obviously Tom Brady, his situation for the future. We'll address that in a couple of moments. We'll also talk in about 5 minutes with Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. He'll break down the Bears quarterback situation for the future, talk about the wild card round with us as well. But Abdallah, the other storyline is Deshaun Watson. And we knew this, right? We knew he was great at Clemson. And in fact, Dabo Swinney warned us all at the Senior Bowl before Deshaun Watson entered the NFL draft. He warned us that this was going to happen.
Simple, very, very low maintenance, humble, same guy every day and always ready. Comes to every meeting prepared. He's just, you know, that's how you change things. You know, you change a culture through, for me, it's through discipline and recruiting and staffing and all that stuff. You know, for them, it's decision making. It's who you pick. And just telling you, if they pass on Deshaun Watson, they're passing on Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just telling you. I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. I'm just an old funky college coach, but Deshaun Watson is the best by a long shot.
Decision making in who they pick.
They pass on Deshaun Watson. They're passing on Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just telling you.
I mean, that's one that's going to cut deep for a long time if you're a Bears fan. You know, hearing Dabo Swinney call it out before the draft.
They pass on Deshaun Watson. They're passing on Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just telling you.
And then last night, in the playoffs, in the wild card round, seeing it.
Second and six here. Watson, pressure off the edge. Watson survives it and then checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40, inside the 30, inside the 20, to the 10-yard line. Tywan Jones, Deshaun Watson, magical, 34 yards.
They pass on Deshaun Watson. They're passing on Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just telling you.
And that's why today, sitting here, seeing that, I, as a Bears fan, Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the TuneIn app, I feel like a Portland Trailblazers fan felt in the late 80s, mm-hmm. right? Passing on Michael Jordan, having your team ready to win, yet you missed out on the superstar. I feel like it's April 21st, 1986, when Jordan, the day after Jordan, scored 63 in the Boston Garden. They lost in that first-round series to the Celtics, one of the all-time great teams in NBA history, the 86 Celtics. But you knew that Michael Jordan was legit and that he was going to be the next face of the NBA, the next superstar of the NBA, and he was different from everyone else on the court. The 63 he dropped in the Garden was incredible, and what we saw last night may not have been the 63 in the Garden, but what we saw in the second half from Deshaun Watson, that was special
stuff. They pass on Deshaun Watson. They're passing on Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Normal quarterbacks don't do what Watson did last night.
No, and you want to know what's crazy to think of, too, is if all the dominoes fall the right way, right? And if everything is the same except Watson is on the Bears. You think of it this way. Would Deshaun Watson had to do what he did with the 26th ranked defense, according to DVOA? The Bears have the 8th best defense, according to DVOA. So if he was able to do this, if he was here in Chicago with Allen Robinson, I'm making everything equal, right? Everything is equal. Yeah, he wouldn't have as good of tight end play because we did the Ben Broniker or whoever, Jesper Horsted or whoever it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Elite quarterbacks make players better. We've seen it time and time again with Aaron Rodgers, with Tom Brady. Deshaun Watson has proven that he can do less with more. Or more with less. You look at the way the offensive line played and the 7 of 8 for 142 when he was under duress yesterday. What he's been able to do. All we've been hearing all season is, oh, Mitch would be better with better offensive line play. Mitch would be better with better. Of course he would be. He'd be a little bit better. But Deshaun Watson makes up for, he puts a Band-Aid on bad offensive line play.
Dabo Sweeney warned us. He told us all before the draft.
They pass on Deshaun Watson. They're passing on Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If you want to talk football with us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Let's go to the phone and talk to Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at PFF_Sam. And Sam, if you look back at last night and what the Texans did, and more importantly, what Deshaun Watson did, how do you put that into perspective today?
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting game because Buffalo could have that way and just weren't able to get it done, gave the Texans enough breathing room to sort of hang around. I mean, in the space of a couple of plays, Deshaun Watson turned it, first of all, the one possession game, and obviously right at death, he's the guy that makes the spectacular play that gives them life and ultimately gives them the lead that they don't squander. So, you know, Deshaun Watson, basically since he came into the league now, has shown he's got the ability to play sort of hero ball. He's one of those quarterbacks that can just make special things happen when he's needed to. And that's a rare quality. Aren't there many quarterbacks that are capable of doing that?
What did you see in the second half from the Texans in general, or maybe the lack of adjustments from the Bills that led to the turnaround in the game?
I mean, I think the big thing was they figured out that how to get Nuke Hopkins back involved. You know, the initial plan was to keep him away from Tre'Davious White, line him up in the slot, try and get him mismatches inside. In the second half, just went, you know what, screw it. We've got an all-pro ourselves. We're not going to be scared of an all-pro back. Let's put him one-on-one and let's trust him to win the matchups. And that's what happened. Nuke Hopkins got the better of Tre'Davious White in the second half. And, you know, with Will Fuller not playing, Nuke Hopkins is basically their primary and maybe only passing weapon, so you can't just go away from it. You need to get involved. I think that's what they did.
All right, we're going to put Sam on hold and try and call him back and see if we get a cleaner connection there. Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. He was breaking up there in that last answer. So Sam Monson will call back. But, you know, if we look at what Watson did and what we kind of take a look at going forward with what we have here on Wild Card Weekend in the Tom Brady conversation, Abdallah, you know, like, it's one GOAT ending, another trying to rise to power. And I have a tweet here from Drew saying, I don't agree with your Watson take. That's all. Just don't. He's not remotely close to Jordan. I'm not saying Deshaun Watson is Michael Jordan. I think
Dabo said it, not you.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney did say it.
They pass on Deshaun Watson. They're passing on Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just telling you.
And who knows? Texans could lose next weekend, and that could be that for the Texans in this run. But if he goes on to do this each and every week in the playoffs, you have to look back and say, wow, maybe Dabo Swinney knew something. So as we go forward and we reconnect with Sam Monson here at Pro Football Focus, if you take a look last night, is that the last time we see Tom Brady playing in a Patriots uniform last night, Sam?
Yeah, it's kind of sounding that way. I mean, it's interesting the way they did his contract. It means he has to become a free agent this season. There's no way they can avoid it now. It may only be for 5 minutes while they wrap up a new deal and get him back in New England. But I think there's a very real chance that this is the end for him there. It's a natural break. And, you know, part of the problem with these great quarterbacks when they get towards the end of their career is when you make that clean break. Because it's not easy. You know, at some point, you know, he's going to be reaching the end of his lifespan for the team. But it's never easy to get rid of them because they've been great for that long. So I think this is a sort of natural parting of the ways, and he probably takes, you know, 1-2 year deal somewhere else and then tries to rekindle the magic of a different team. But Brady and the Patriots, I think, is probably the end.
If you had to pick a couple spots that would line up well for him to go to, realistically, where would you think he ends up?
I think Chargers make a lot of sense. I think they're going to have a similar deal with Philip Rivers, and you know they are a team that thinks they can contend pretty consistently. You know, any of these teams that think they are a quarterback away from a good run, honestly, the Colts with Andrew Luck retired, they thought they could still be a quality team with Jacoby Brissett. It wasn't quite enough because Brissett just wasn't capable of playing that well. But Tom Brady in that in the setup, the roster they have, they could definitely make a run, you know, next year and figure things out beyond that.
Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus joining Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Sam, if you're running the Chicago Bears, what do you do at quarterback for next season?
Yeah, it's a tough spot because, you know, they expended a lot of draft capital to get Trubisky in the first place and start to put team around him with, you know, the trade for Khalil Mack and that kind of thing. So they don't have an abundance of options with some intriguing quarterbacks, I think, that are going to hit the open market in free agency. You've got to assume that the Titans are not going to let Ryan Tannehill hit the market. They'll franchise tag him, keep him around. Jameis Winston at Tampa Bay, that's going to be an intriguing one again. I think the franchise tag makes a lot of sense there. But Teddy Bridgewater might hit the open market in New Orleans. And, you know, he'll only be 27, I think, by the time next season starts. He showed this year that he can be a starter again, I think. It was concerning. We weren't 100% sure post-injury what Teddy Bridgewater looked like. But in his 5-game run of starts this season, I thought he actually progressed, showed the ability to make the plays that I wasn't sure he still had in the tank. I don't know how much he'd cost. I don't know if his contract will end up being significant money. So I think he would be really good competition for Trubisky and potentially win the starting job and be a good option.
Two wild card games today. The first one at noon between the Vikings and the Saints. How do the Vikings keep up with the Saints in New Orleans?
I honestly don't think they can. I think this is the game of weekend that it looks the most lopsided to me on paper. I think they are already going to have problems with the New Orleans offense, and that's before they lost all of their cornerbacks. So I think the Saints are going to score a lot of points. I mean, for the Vikings to keep pace with that, they need Kirk Cousins to play one of the best games of his career. They need Dalvin Cook to be phenomenal. They need the offensive line to not hemorrhage pressure. They basically just need everything to go right for them on offense, and that seems unlikely.
Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus previewing the wild card games today. The second game, Seahawks at Eagles at 3:40 Central Time. Who do you like in that contest? Who's going to win that one?
I think the Eagles have a very real chance of pulling off, you know, an upset at home. Obviously, they're banged up. They've got an incredible injury list. But they've got a quarterback that's capable of making spectacular plays. They've got a defensive front that will put Russell Wilson under a lot of pressure. And if you're going to knock him off his game, that's how you're going to have to do it. And then the Seahawks have a ton of injuries themselves. You know, this is a team that basically re-signed their 2016 backfield a couple of weeks ago because they ran out of running backs. They don't have their left tackle anymore. They've got other injuries on the offensive line. They're not as banged up as Philadelphia, but they've got to go across the country, you know, go into Philadelphia on the road. It's not going to be easy. I think the Eagles can pull off an upset.
Thank you, Sam. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Anytime, guys. You too. Take it easy.
That's Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. Follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Sam. And he said Teddy Bridgewater was his pick for the Bears next season if he got to run the team and go out there and find a quarterback. And earlier on the show, we were talking about who should the Bears start as quarterback next season. I gave you a list of five players, Abdallah. Number five for me was Mitch Trubisky, because anyone else below him on the list, I think he beats out in camp. And that's like Case Keenum, Marcus Mariota, a rookie you draft with one of your second round picks, Josh Rosen, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Those are the names, you know, Blake Bortles. Trubisky can beat those guys out. The rest of my list, number four, Jameis Winston. Number three, Philip Rivers. Number two, Andy Dalton. Number one, Teddy Bridgewater.
And you gave who they should go after. I will give you who they will go after. It is awards season, the Golden Globes tonight, and then all the other award shows follow, so that you have who should win. I have who will win because of who the Academy likes and who people will actually vote for. And I have six of them, Bridgewater being number six. I don't think they bring in Bridgewater because he automatically will start. If he's leaving the Saints, he's going to want to be a starter. He's going to command starter money, and he's going to want to start here in Chicago. And Pace will not do that because it'll break the fragile ego of Mitchell Trubisky. Number five is Tom Brady, another guy who will want to start. He's not going to leave the Patriots to be a backup somewhere. That's ridiculous. He's going to retire. He's never going to be a backup. If he's going to be a backup, he's going to be back up at home. Get it? See what I did there? So he's number five.
What did you just do there?
He's going to be back up at home.
Okay.
Right. Number four is going to be Philip Rivers. Same situation as Tom Brady. Uh-huh. I think Philip Rivers is not a guy who's just going to be cashing checks as a backup. I think he's a guy who's going to come in to start. If he's not going to start, if he can't find a starting job, he's just going to retire and ride off into the sunset with the bolo tie. And then I have the next option would be Andy Dalton. I think that's a more likely option for them to bring in just because he's the one that, you know, you could trade for and then rework that deal, and it'll only cost Pace one of the many draft picks that he doesn't value because he just trades them like a kid trading snack packs at lunch. And then my second option before Trubisky is Jalen Hurts or whoever they choose to draft, Justin Herbert, Jake Fromm. Enter a college quarterback here is really just that slot. And then, of course, Trubisky will be the starter.
You want to talk Bears and football with us? You can call us at 312-332-3776. Eddie on the north side is up first. Eddie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, I've seen enough of Teddy Bridgewater when he was over there in Minnesota. Just because he goes to the Saints where they have all them weapons, there is no way he's going to be like a top quarterback on another team where they don't have all them players. I've seen it too many times with people like that. Even like Nick Foles, he looked so great with Philadelphia. He left there, they had a bunch of weapons, and he was done. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, what's interesting about that, Eddie, is yesterday as I was researching for the show, I searched Teddy Bridgewater free agent. And this week, in fact, yesterday in the Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud wrote that if the Bucs are preparing to move off of Jameis Winston, the number one place they should look is Teddy Bridgewater because of his completion percentage. Nine touchdowns, only two interceptions this season. He threw 67.9% completion percentage this season. And the fact that the Saints were 5-0 with him at the helm, playing football games where he kept the team alive so they could host a playoff game today, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. If Bridgewater wasn't as good as he was in that 5-0 run that the Saints had mid-season, this team would have been on the road, or they wouldn't have made the playoffs in the first place. And I think all he needs is his own team. Yeah, I feel like he's one of those quarterbacks that's, like, ready for it. You know, like, I get Eddie's point. A lot of times we see the backup, mm-hmm. and we see, in the next spot, Matt Flynn is going to do something. So let's get Matt Flynn his own team. Well, guess what? Matt Flynn was terrible. But on the other side of it, Matt Hasselbeck was that guy for the Packers, right? And when he got to his next team, he was a legitimate, good starting quarterback who took his team to deep playoff runs for many years for the Seattle Seahawks. So it can go both ways. I just feel like Bridgewater is one of those guys because of the composure and what we've seen him do with the tools, that he's the type of quarterback that can run your franchise.
I think that he is, but I don't think the Bears bring him in because they want to prove that Trubisky is the guy. So yes, he makes sense for Tampa Bay, because if they move on from Jameis Winston, they don't really have anybody else. So you bring in Teddy Bridgewater to be that starter. If he goes to another team and becomes that starter, sure. But here in Chicago, I don't think you're bringing in Bridgewater for a quote quarterback competition, because he's going to win and he's going to make your guy look bad.
Where will Tom Brady play next season? We heard Sam Monson tell us likely the LA Chargers, if it's not with the Patriots, but we heard another name, another team earlier this morning. We'll play you that next.
Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Chris Black and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
I'm Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Black. We're here till noon getting you ready for Wild Card Sunday in the NFL. Looking back at last night, two big storylines from last night. Deshaun Watson was awesome. Tom Brady, his future in doubt. Where is he going to be? Here's Tom Brady addressing his future last night after the game.
Again, I don't want to get too much into the future and stuff. I mean, this team has fought hard. We battled every day. We tried to get better. We worked hard to improve. You know, I was proud to be a part of this team, not only this year, but every year. Again, I just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm not going to predict it. And no one needs to make choices at this point. You know, I love playing football. I love playing for this team. I love playing for this team for two decades and winning a lot of games. Again, I don't know what it looks like moving forward, so we'll just take it day by day.
Is there any possibility that you would retire?
I would say it's pretty unlikely, but hopefully unlikely.
Tom Brady on what the Patriots have meant to him throughout his career.
I love the Patriots. I mean, they obviously, it's the greatest organization, and, you know, playing for Mr. Kraft all these years and for Coach Belichick, I mean, there's nobody who's had a better career, I would say, than me being with them, so I'm very blessed, and I don't know what the future looks like, and I'm not going to predict it. So I wish we'd have won tonight. Wish we'd done a lot of things better over the course of the season, but we just didn't get the job done.
So that was Tom Brady after the game. Speaking of Bill Belichick, a long, thoughtful answer from Belichick on whether or not Tom Brady would be with the Patriots again next season, or if that was his last game last night. Let's hear from the coach of the Patriots, the hoodie himself, Bill Belichick, with a long response detailed about Tom Brady's future with the Patriots.
Bill, do you anticipate the Patriots will bring back Tom Brady for the 2020 season?
Right now, we just finished the game, so we're focused on this game, okay? Really?
All right, there's Bill Belichick.
Do you notice how the question was asked? Notice how the question was asked.
Bill, do you anticipate the Patriots will bring back Tom Brady for the 2020?
Do you notice how the Patriots, how he said the Patriots? It didn't say you guys or didn't say you.
Bill, do you anticipate the Patriots will bring back Tom Brady for the 2020 season?
Wait for the grumbling.
No, we just finished the game, so we're focused on this game, okay?
Really? My point is, if Tom Brady wants to come back, he'll be back. Because Robert Kraft loves him, and it's not up to Belichick. If it was up to Belichick, they'd still have Jimmy Garoppolo, but they don't.
Earlier this morning on ESPN Radio, on the show Best Week Ever, Mark Tauscher was on hosting the show, and he gave a idea out. If you're looking at where Tom Brady could go if he goes to free agency, a lot of people think the L.A. Chargers are a good landing spot. We talked about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Mark Tauscher suggests another team.
I think he's either going to retire, or I think he ends up with the L.A. Chargers / Chicago Bears. One of those two. Because the Bears, they've already kind of... I don't know why Ryan Pace would say, we're going to go with Trubisky for sure. That part I'm not sure about, but those would be the two places that I think have the defense and the other skill position guys that could help Tom Brady win.
So that's Mark Tauscher from ESPN Milwaukee. He was on ESPN Radio this morning. He said that. And then also 2 hours ago, Chris Mortensen from ESPN tweets this. If Tom Brady wants to play and it's not going to be with the Patriots, teams who believe they have a championship caliber roster minus a championship caliber quarterback will have real discussions about signing him. That involves a lot of moving if Brady and Patriots do part ways. And when Mortensen tweets that, a team that immediately comes to mind, a championship caliber roster minus the championship caliber quarterback, to me would be the Chicago Bears. And do you believe they will have real discussions about signing Tom Brady? Do you think the Bears will even have realistic conversations about, we need to put together the best pitch possible to try and sign Tom Brady this offseason?
They should, because I don't know if they will, but I think they should. This is a Bulls situation. This is where Carmelo Anthony is going around and he's trying to be courted. You need to put a pitch together. You need to be in the room. Even if he says no and you have a feeling he's going to go elsewhere, you need to be in the room because you have a championship caliber defense. They were eighth in defensive DVOA to end the season. They were ninth in points allowed per game. They're all the top 10 defense, right? You have weapons here. You have Allen Robinson. You need to find a tight end. You need to find some offensive linemen. But you have weapons for him to work with. If Tom Brady came here, they would be instant contender. Instant contender. But I don't know if they're going to do it. If you look at the odds are out there. Vegas has set odds for offshore. I don't know if you can bet on it in Vegas, but offshore odds are out there. The Patriots are the favorite at plus 125. So Vegas believes that he will still be a Patriot. You can still make some money there, plus 125, but still. The Chargers are the next team at 4-1. The Colts and what they have set up with Ballard, and maybe they don't. But here's the thing, though. If they don't believe in Brissett and they bring in Tom Brady, why can't the Bears trade for Brissett? Would you take Jacoby Brissett?
Is he really that much different than what you have with Trubisky?
I think
the bigger piece of thing to take away from that thought is the Colts, if they are willing to upgrade from what they have, why would the Bears not be willing to upgrade, right?
Well, like, they should be. Look,
exactly.
There's a lot of reasons that the Bears should be doing things that they don't do. So the Colts are 6-1. The Raiders are 8-1. The Browns, the Panthers, and retired are all 10-1. Then you get the Cowboys at 12-1. So they move on from Dak and they sign Tom Brady. That's 12-1. The Chicago Bears come in along with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 15-1.
The Bucs are that low?
The Bucs are that low.
Let's go to Colin in Vegas listening on the TuneIn app. He called 312-332-3776. Colin, you're on ESPN 1000.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Great, man. What's up?
I have no faith in the Bears to do the right thing. I mean, time and time again, we've missed out on countless draft picks. You know, countless drafts, and we've missed out on countless great players that were top tier. And, you know, we went with guys like David Terrell or Rex Grossman, and, you know, look how that turned out. But I look at, you know, if you think about bringing in Bridgewater, that just reminds me of bringing in Cordell Stewart back in the day. And, with Stewart, he was at the tail end of his career, but I feel like we kind of destroyed the rest of his career, and I don't want to see that happen to Bridgewater. And, you know, and even with – I love Tom Brady, but, I mean, do you think he still has it in him to, like, to keep competing at a very high level? And if he did come to the Bears, is that a guarantee – you know, is he the guaranteed starter and Mitch is just straight to the bench?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
If Tom Brady came here, yeah. No team is signing Tom Brady without the assumption that that guy is the number one starter until he wants to leave.
Tom Brady is also not signing with a team to go into a competition.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Colin. Let's go to Elliot in Elgin. He called 312-332-3776. Elliot, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, guys, at this point in their careers, do you think Brady has more left in the tank than Peyton Manning did when the Broncos acquired him?
I do, Elliot, because I think that Peyton was more of a health thing. Peyton had that neck issue.
Yeah.
He had problems throwing the ball. I haven't seen an issue. Yeah, the velocity might be down, and he might not be able to throw a football over the mountains like he used to be able to. But Tom Brady still has the physical abilities to compete at a high level.
Yeah, they point out last night in the broadcast many times, Romo pointed out that, like, the velocity was there, the throws were there, the receivers were not the ones making plays. So it seems as if Brady can still get it done. He just needs better weapons around him, whether it be with the Patriots or somewhere else. And if you look at Peyton Manning's last couple of years, obviously, Abdallah's right, it was injuries. It was the neck injury that really hurt his career. And 2013, his third to last season, he threw for the record-breaking 55 touchdowns mm-hmm. and 10 interceptions. The year after that, 2014, he threw 39 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. And in 2015, 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. And it really fell off there for Peyton Manning. I think Tom Brady is a much better quarterback at moment than Peyton Manning was at age 39, 38, the last couple of years with the Broncos.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, because of that, he should get another opportunity. We talked to Sam Monson a little bit ago, and he thinks that this is the perfect breaking point where you do go to another team. I disagree, and I think that this is more of a legacy thing, and you stay where you are, you finish your legacy out there. Look, Tom Brady doesn't want his last memories in Foxborough to be him throwing a pick six to put the game away for the Titans. He doesn't want to go down knowing he didn't throw a touchdown pass in his last two playoff games in Foxborough. That's something that when you don't need to think about rings and money, you think about the small moments and how your legacy is in Foxborough. I'm not saying he's going to go down as a villain in Foxborough. They're going to hate him. Obviously, he brought them nothing but championships while he was there. But ultimately, you don't want that to be that lasting memory when you end with the team, when you have the choice to go back and rebuild. Because it's not like Belichick and the Patriots haven't tried to put guys around him. It's not like they haven't tried to say, hey, and look, and Josh McDaniels is going to get interviews too to become a head coach somewhere and maybe run an organization. He's supposed to meet with the Browns. He's supposed to meet with a couple teams where he could be in place to be like the Belichick, be in charge of personnel and be the head coach. Now, if Brady decides to come back, does Josh McDaniels decide to come back? Does that hinder on Tom Brady's decision that if McDaniels leaves, then I'm going to leave type of thing? There's a lot to be ironed out here. And this isn't something they're going to decide soon. The league year doesn't start for 2 months.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a long process, and a lot of interviews have to take place, and a lot of courting may have to take place as well. But I wouldn't be surprised either if you hear the very first moment of free agency starting, or a Schefter tweet or something like that, that says Tom Brady has agreed to a 2-year deal with the Patriots. That would be the least surprising thing to me, is that he stays.
I agree with that. I do like this idea, though, that it's the first time in his career that he can take meetings.
Yeah,
and, you know, like, the whole meeting thing is a very NBA offseason free agency deal. But, like, of all players to conduct the charade of here's the meetings and here am I and look, private jet going here, private jet going there.
I don't think he cares about that kind of stuff.
It's Tom Brady, though.
I don't think so.
I mean, he is one of the most famous people in the world.
I understand that. But he's also a guy who values his privacy greatly. There's that Peter King story after they won the Super Bowl where he has to go up to his cabin and he doesn't let anybody there. And Peter King basically had to put one of those bags over his head so he wouldn't see where...
So
he wouldn't see where it is, how secret this cabin is off in the wilderness.
Are you telling me that Brady's people showed up at Peter King's house in the middle of the night, put a bag over his head, threw him in the trunk of a car, and drove up into the mountains?
That's how secretive of a life Tom Brady lives. And to me, I don't think that he cares about the pomp and circumstance of a courtship of an offseason.
Eric Gust tweets us at Chris Bleck and at Adam A. Abdallah. Tom Brady walks into a room with Pace, Ted Phillips, and George McCaskey, and walks out
walks
in five
right
minutes.
Out. Yeah, he walks right out.
Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Chris Bleck and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Beautiful people, top design.
Welcome, Abdallah, here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. You can also download the podcast of today's show at ESPNChicagoPodcast.com. Subscribe, rate, review on TuneIn, Spotify, and iTunes. Search Bleck and Abdallah. Thank you to Colin Wilson and Sam Monson for joining the show today. Tyler Akee for producing the show for us as we're done in about 12 minutes here on ESPN 1000. But I have more to talk to you, Abdallah, about, and especially you're a big movie fan. You enjoy movies, right?
I enjoy the flicks.
All right, we'll preview the wildcard games today in just a couple minutes. Are you gambling on Best Picture tonight?
Here, the Golden Globes are tough.
Yeah, no, I know. Here's what's up. And if you're looking to gamble tonight on the Golden Globes, maybe you're chasing after losing both the wild card games earlier today.
Well, the difference with the Golden Globes is you have to either go drama and comedy.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, but it's not just best picture.
No, I know, but best picture drama. Here are the odds. The leader right now, odds to win best picture as a drama, is The Irishman, minus 200. Marriage Story at plus 250. Joker at plus 600. 1917 at 650. Two Popes at plus 2,000.
Two Popes? Sorry, that was if 2 Chainz was in the movie.
What would you go with?
I would... See, I just watched Marriage Story yesterday, so that's fresh in my mind.
Okay, so let's talk about this. What did you think about Marriage Story?
Yeah. There's a lot of talking.
I think the best
scene in the whole movie is the first time that Scarlett Johansson is in Laura Dern's office, where she's going through the it's one shot. It looks like one shot.
Yeah.
And it's the whole her telling the whole story. I thought that was my favorite scene in the whole movie. Look, when you yell, I get it. When you're yelling and you hit the punch the wall, oh, I don't.
I thought you were going to say the magic trick. I thought that you were going to say that was your favorite part of the movie.
No,
All right.
No.
You know, it was good. I liked it.
It was okay.
I liked it more than I liked The Irishman, which is the favorite in this category.
I think I like The Irishman more. The more I think about The Irishman, the more I like the performances. It's not a movie I needed, but I like the performances. I like seeing Pesci again.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
That's cool. I liked watching Brady last night. You saw nothing new in The Irishman. Everything that takes place in that movie is something you've already seen in one of Scorsese's movies.
I think if I had to put money down on one of these, and I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's gotten a lot of good reviews, is I would probably throw some money down on 1917.
It looks good. I haven't seen that. That's the one I haven't seen. Joker, I don't think, has a shot to win.
I don't think so either. No.
Okay, so comedy. Here's the best picture for a comedy. At minus 900, yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, yeah. Jojo Rabbit is plus 350, Knives Out plus 700, Rocket Man plus 1400, Dolomite Is My Name is plus 1500. So, like, you wouldn't bet on this because it's so obvious that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's going to win, right?
Yeah, and I also watched a bunch of movies yesterday.
To prepare for this, right?
Why isn't Parasite on one of these? Parasite not nominated?
Mm-mm.
Or is it Best Foreign? Is it under Best Foreign Film? I don't know. Anyway, I thought Jojo Rabbit was really funny. I liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a lot better. But I thought Jojo Rabbit was really funny. It was a good movie. I haven't seen Knives Out or Dolomite Is My Name or Rocket Man. So I haven't seen either three of those yet.
If you combine the two categories, which one did you enjoy more? The Irishman or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? That's the best movie of the year. It's the best movie I saw all year.
I don't know if it's going to win, like if it wins an Oscar, because I don't know if they're going to take a comedy like that. I guess it's a quote comedy like that. They usually go for more dramatic or silent. They want the artist to win or something like that.
You know, here's my sports take when you look at Tarantino and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. What was the one thing we always wished with Jay Cutler? Is that, like, he would check it down once in a while. He would maybe not try and make every single play.
Yeah.
Like, he was too reckless with it.
Yeah.
And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is Jay Cutler actually taking care of the football. Like, Quentin Tarantino actually for once was not completely reckless with the film, and that's why it's so good. It's great.
Yeah, I liked it a lot better the second time I watched it too. It's one of those movies. But yeah, I mean, there's no, you can't even parlay these on my internet website for gambling, so I can't even get some added value that way. I think that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood wins, and probably The Irishman probably wins, but I don't know if it should.
So did you cry in Marriage Story?
No, I laughed, actually. Because I'm a child of divorce, so I've seen that. Like, I've been the kid in the room where the parents are screaming at each other, and like, I don't know, to me it was just like seeing Adam Driver get all emotional. Like, it was just like shut up, like, just get divorced already. Just like when my parents got divorced, I was like, all right, it's about time already, come on, enough of these fights, just get divorced already. Like, save me from sitting through this anymore, just get divorced already.
What was the last time you cried in a movie?
Oh man, the last time I cried in a movie was probably a Toy Story, to be honest. And it might have been not even the latest one, the one where, like, he gives the toys away.
Oh, yeah.
Three. Yeah. The end of Toy Story 3 got me, like, real good.
I came real close in that. I can tell you specifically, it was 1997 Air Bud.
Oh, come on. You've cried in a movie since Air Bud.
Air Bud. That was it.
You've cried in a movie since Air Bud.
Do you know what the kid does in Air Bud? He has to tell his dog to leave.
I understand.
And he tells him to just run away. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. Air Bud, 1997, in the theater. In Vernon Hills.
You cried?
Crying.
That's a date movie, too, I bet.
No, Air Bud is not a date movie.
You probably, if
1997? We were 12.
That's a group date movie. It's like a bunch of people. You're with your parents?
Like seventh grade?
Yeah, you got a bunch of people to go.
Anything with a dog is a date movie.
Yeah, see? All right, Tyler.
Oh, no, he agrees with me. I mean, he's agreeing with me.
Anything with a dog.
Date movie.
I mean,
you get points for being sensitive.
All right. So is like The Mask a dog movie? There's a dog in The Mask.
No, The Mask is not a dog movie.
Well, is there not a dog in The Mask?
Which mask? Jim Carrey mask?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What other mask would I be talking about?
Cher. Isn't she in a mask movie?
I don't know what you're doing there.
There's a movie called The Mask.
Or is it just called Mask? I have no idea.
Whatever. Whatever. I did not cry in Marriage Story. Did you? You know what the other one that's not on here is the what do you call it movie?
The
Mr. Rogers movie's not on here either.
Yeah, I turned that off halfway through.
I heard that's a tearjerker, though.
I mean, I guess if that's what you want to do with your day. I mean, I gave it like an hour and 10 minutes, and it was.
There's just some of these movies that I don't like. I don't really care about Bombshell.
Do I need to watch
Bombshell?
I get it. Mr. Rogers is amazing.
Okay.
I get it. But when you're watching the movie, I just could not be interested whatsoever.
Do I need to watch Bombshell?
Yeah, probably. I think
really?
So.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh. Do it's I need to watch movie. Rocket Man?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Why not?
I like Elton John, so. Yeah. Parasite was great.
Yes, Parasite is fantastic.
Parasite,
absolutely.
If you see a movie, see Parasite.
That's the movie to see. That is an awesome movie.
That is a great movie.
It's not what you're expecting, and it's brilliant.
It's kind of what I was expecting. I mean, I read about it before going into it, so it's kind of what I was expecting.
Why would you ruin it?
I only ruined it for myself.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. All right, so today, wild card games, Seahawks and Eagles, the late game. This is kind of around a pick'em. If not, you're seeing the Eagles as the favorite here. Do you think Carson Wentz's first playoff game leads the way and the Eagles win, or do you put your money on Russell Wilson to be awesome once again?
I think the Eagles find a way to win this game. I know it's the sexy sharp pick this weekend, but I think the Eagles at home find a way to win. The magic continues. And the second game, the Vikings +7.5 heading to New Orleans. Everyone kind of thinks this one's going to be the blowout of the day or of the weekend. What do you think of this one?
I'm going Saints, and I'm going with the Seahawks. I think those are the two that
I'm going to do the popular teaser, and I'm going to tease the Saints and the Eagles.
That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bluck. I'll be back with Cap in the morning at 9. You'll hear Abdallah with Waddle and Sylvia too, right here on ESPN 1000.
Chris Bluck and Adam Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.